Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Dirty Wrap-Up Podcast for a sort of finale. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Allister. Allie, how are you?
Looks like we made it. Look how far... Almost made it. Almost.
Because, of course, even when you think you reached the finale, not this season. Nope. Can't do it. Not yet.
It's actually crazy because I watched this today. If anyone's been following me on Twitter, I've been watching it throughout the law school in various locations. And I was shocked I wasn't spoiled because a lot of times when I have to wait till the next day to watch an episode, I get spoiled one way or another on Twitter. No big deal. And I was like, wow, I'm doing such a great job avoiding spoilers. Little did I know it's because no spoilers existed. They did not announce the winner on the finale.
I don't think we're going to... I almost kind of never want to know who wins and have this just be like this purgatory state where the season actually never ends and we never really know who wins and we're just podcasting about this until like 2050.
Do you hate yourself? Serious question. I don't want to live in purgatory.
No, go ahead. I was going to keep ranting about how annoying it is, but go ahead.
Well, should we talk about it? We got a lot of questions that we think. Controversial opinion. I'm actually not mad about it.
Explain.
Well, I think this happens a lot. Like RuPaul's Drag Race, they don't announce the winner until the reunion show. Survivor, they don't announce the winner till the reunion, although the reunion does happen right after the show. Like, I think there's precedent in the reality TV world to do this. And I don't mind that. Like, I almost enjoy the suspense for the cast members. I love that they're going to find out by pulling the double cross. Like, I don't know. It doesn't bother me as much as I think some people expected it to bother us. But it seems like you'll be able to give that satisfying reaction.
See, for me, if they want to do this like Survivor and it's like, oh, they don't find out to the reunion, like you said, but like for us, it's, you know, 2 minutes later, perfectly fine. Let's do that. The fact that they are making us wait another week to find out who wins this freaking season is insane. Just do a 2 hour finale and reunion and get it. And actually, it has to be 3 hours because I think, as we talked about offline earlier, I think the reunion's two parts, so it is going the half five's way, making it multiple parts. But just like do it right this night. Just do it all in one shot.
It's not good for our on-air personas that we talk offline. I want everyone to believe that we only interact when it's being recorded, which is like partially true. But no, I see what you're saying. And I think it's like this might be, and I'm curious to hear from the listeners. If you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, you're probably not as bothered by this setup. Maybe there are people who will prove me wrong. It's just like it's not a totally new. It almost bothered me that they were making it like this was a totally new and shocking like concept when it's just another like other reality shows do this. I don't know. I liked it because I think it would have been really unsatisfying if TJ wasn't there and like what was a video going to be like, Camilla, you won or whoever like wins. Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, so how do you think it played without TJ there just like throughout the entire final? Obviously with the end it was even like a little bit weirder. How do you think it played throughout the episode?
I think if there has to be a note on the phone like press play when everybody's finished the challenge, it's a little like DIY. I don't love that. I didn't like it from the end of last episode. I don't like it now. I didn't think it lost a lot because they didn't play a lot of messages, but I think it loses something to not have the host there. Like it lowers the stakes a little bit.
Do you think TJ found out this is what they were doing and he's like, there's like, I'm not going out there if I'm not announcing the winner. He just like boycotted it. And that's why he's like, I'll just film like a couple Skype videos, but I'm not going out there if I'm not announcing the winner.
TJ's showing up for a check. I don't care what. He does not give a shit about the sanctity of the television show. Do you think he would have loved to deliver this information in person? Are you kidding?
I guess he would have loved. They would have had, actually now I wish he was there because throughout the final, they would have had even more confessionals about. After he would do like a clip, he'd be like, little do they know. Although they would have done that. That would have killed the punchline for us. But that would be funnier.
So how did you think it played? You were more optimistic about the direct-to-video TJ hosting.
Yeah, for me, up until like the very end, I didn't notice it at all. He could have been there and it would have played the exact same way. So him not being there didn't do anything until the very end.
I think I don't mind the signs for the challenges. I didn't love the signs for the, like, what was it? Like the duty delivery when they gave a bad thing.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called. Like, I think it would have been nice if TJ were there to be like, before you go to sleep, dole out one punishment. Ha ha ha. Like, I think he would have been good for those kinds of transitions.
Plus, we didn't have like the scenario where they got kicked out of like a public subway, and he had to like, whoa, that was super weird. I can't believe we got kicked out. That was crazy.
Yeah, we missed a lot of his theatrics. One of the segments, they didn't even show the video. It was like audio only. It was like, wow, that's low budget.
Yes, yeah, so maybe the picture didn't even come across that well. It was all like jumpy. I'm like, ooh, let's not even show it.
Also, it seems like TJ won't even be at the reunion to deliver the news, so it doesn't even affect that he wasn't there. Like, I don't know if he had a previous engagement. I like, and we'll talk about this later, I like The Miz as the host, but it doesn't seem like TJ is going to be there to announce the winner either.
Yeah, that doesn't, yeah, I kind of wish he was there, but I guess, you know, if he's not there for this, they find in New York another fiasco. So it's just, the whole thing is just so disorganized and just doesn't fit the show. Like, it's, I guess we should have expected this with the amount of cliffhangers they have throughout the season, that they would end it with another one, but it's so annoying.
I guess that's the thing. I don't equate this to the like cliffhangers we had all season. Maybe because this is something that I'm more used to. Like, okay, you're going to announce the winner at the reunion. If anything, it like the fact that they announced the winners at the reunion records. When did it record? Like a couple, like a month ago, two months ago.
Yeah,
I guess it lowers the amount of time for spoilers, but that's why RuPaul's Drag Race, for anyone who doesn't watch, shoots every single, this is actually more intense than what happened on MTV. They shoot like all three finalists winning, like being like RuPaul announcing them as the winner, and then they don't find out till the show airs.
Jeez, that's
like which that's clip, like, which one they aired.
It's like Breaking Bad shit. Jesus Christ.
Well, the problem with that is it takes away from like none of the winners are like that excited because it's like not real when they're being crowned. Right. But
yeah,
so it could be that, if that makes you feel better about this situation, anyone out there.
Well, now I kind of wish like Camilla had to act like she won and then didn't win. I want to see that ripped away from her.
Yeah, because she's such a good actress. Definitely. Yeah. She has a lot of control over her emotions.
And don't let her get upset, though. She never gets upset. What am I talking about?
All right, so let's get into this. We start as though we haven't seen the first challenge. They fully reset up the 30 stone challenge. We don't need to do that because we recall listening to it last week or watching it last week.
Yes, we do. But it was kind of sweet. I don't know. I always get a little sentimental with Derek because I think Derek's story is probably the coolest. Just how many years he's taken off and he's doing this. Like, Ruby still got it, proved something to his kid. And it's kind of cool that he's done as well as he has.
You know, that was great. And I liked the... I think the sort of like walk through the, what is it called? Not the feats of strength. What's the like walk down memory lane on Survivor they used to have?
God, this is really bad.
Rites of Passage.
Rites of Passage.
I like the Rites of Passage better on the Salt Flat than I did in the beginning, but it didn't bother me. I just thought I wasn't ready to like reminisce yet at the start of the episode.
I kind of wish they would do that though. They would have like something from each person going along the way, like each like checkpoint, and they're like, oh, remember when, you know, Darrell was on for like 10 minutes and that was fun.
Yeah, because I really give a shit about what Camilla has to say about all the people that she should have went home before.
You don't want to hear her talk about Leroy some more? You
want to hear that come up? So Jordan and Camilla finished the rock phase first, as CT points out, because they found a shortcut. Derek and Kara finished second. Tori and CT bringing up the rear. No real surprises, I think, there. That's kind of what we saw happening from last week.
And it seemed like even between first and third, it was a matter of minutes that it was different. So it didn't seem like anyone was that far behind or out front.
But then we have Bola on over stage two, which I totally thought Camilla said Ebola when she first read out the, this is why we need TJ.
To correct their pronunciation of stuff, because TJ is obviously the most open person.
I don't know. I had to rewind and be like, they cannot be joking about Ebola like too soon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tori brings it up like a couple minutes later, so I guess they can joke about it.
Yeah. Well, she gave her Ebola. It's only fair to give Ebola.
Yeah.
Now, did I hear this right? The Ebola is a weapon used to hunt llama.
Seems that way. I didn't realize you need to like a certain weapon to hunt llama. I feel like they're pretty easy to kill.
I have no experience hunting at all, so I definitely don't know about llama speed.
Aren't llamas like normally like herded and then they're just like killed?
Well, you're asking me like as though I didn't just say I have no idea about
llamas. I'm talking out loud. This is what I don't really think in my head a lot. I just talk.
Well, that's a good reason to have a podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
But this was basically just like ladder ball at a backyard party, right?
Yeah, with a more disgusting shot choice.
Well, you clearly didn't grow up in Jersey. We're slinging back shots of fermented llama milk at every backyard barbecue.
I was surprised there wasn't, like, it seemed like they handled it pretty well. I think we think MC was going for like the classic puke montage, but we didn't really get it.
It was pretty intense that CT like takes the shot and immediately throws up. But yeah, I don't know if they were hoping it would pay off here immediately or if like running with all that old dairy in your stomach would affect you later. But yeah, it didn't really pay off, which I was fine with. I've seen enough yakking this season.
Yeah, I was fine with it because I mean, how many times do you have to see someone like struggling with this drink or the food and eventually pulling through? So I was sort of surprised, but also happy that it was lost over quickly.
It's possible they were looking out for the audience, too, because they knew seeing Camilla perform well would make the audience itself yak, that they didn't want to put any more vomit on the screen.
Right, right.
So we thank you.
Yeah.
What do you think of the fact that the pair that finished first from the last stage, and this carried through as a theme, was able to handicap the other teams?
I thought it was a clever way to do like the little bonuses that they keep doing rather than like a random, although we saw a random thing later on. I like that they incorporated, you know, doing well, you get rewarded for it as opposed to just, you know, gaining an extra couple of minutes depending upon the challenge. So this actually helps you in each subsequent round. So I thought it was a cool addition.
I totally agree with you. And in addition to that, I thought it was cool that like, it carried through the theme of the season. Like, I was annoyed at the beginning with all the dirty, 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 but they really did keep it consistent throughout the season. Like, Survivor is going to drop the Heroes Hustle, or already has, like, the theme right away. Like, this I like that it thematically, like, it's almost like the chaos became expected, and I like that they, like, pulled that through to the finale.
It seemed like they were constantly surprised, always, that was the thing. They're like, oh, I guess we can do this round. I guess we can do that, like, it happened like every round, I think, where the winners got to do something to help themselves or hurt someone else. It constantly seemed like they were surprised that another one kept popping up.
Well, it was this with the Bola. It was the 5-minute double cross. Those are so freaking cute. It was the sleeping. Was there another one?
There was.
I'm going off notes right now. So,
yeah, I don't think there was one for the last thing. And then for the climb, I don't think there was anything. I mean, I think that was it.
So, yeah, I mean, they're definitely a group of six that can ham it up to camera as needed, besides maybe Derek. But he might just generally be surprised often. But, yeah, so this really hurt. The handicap hurt CT and Tori. Were you surprised that they decided to dish the extra Bola to CT and Tori?
No, I mean, I think it made sense going into that CT would be Jordan's toughest competition all around. I was a little surprised that Camilla kind of agreed to it, but I guess it made sense that she wouldn't want to go after her friend. So, yeah, I mean, all around, I think it kind of made the most sense.
See, it's strange to me. I think the biggest chance Derek has to win this is that he was completely underestimated by all five of his competitors on both genders. Like, mm-hmm. Every time, I mean, they ended up giving him the handicap to sleep, but that was like after CT like constantly came in last place. And I would think that CT is your biggest competition in any sort of head-to-head physical thing for Jordan, 100%. But where speed and agility is so important, is CT really your biggest competition?
Yeah, that's a fair point. Looking at like not necessarily who's the biggest threat overall, but for this specific round, yeah, I think that is a fair way to look at it, that Derek would probably be better at this overall. But for me, it's like CT's just, you would think, just so good at everything that it's almost hard to comprehend that he wouldn't be the best at it.
Like, the final comes down to a foot race so often. Like, so many components are how fast did you get there, right? And, like, I'm taking Derek over CT in just a pure foot race any day.
Yeah, but maybe he's even thinking just further in the fact that there's probably going to be, like, puzzles along the way, and CT's just so good at that, and that Derek really struggles, so anytime you can hurt CT at all at any time, maybe you pick up those couple extra minutes here.
And I mean, it ended up being the right decision, at least in this checkpoint or stage, because CT and Tori did finish the bolo first. And the second one definitely added a handicap where Derek and Kara sucked at this. So it would have been just like an extra drain on time, as opposed to kind of like evening out both teams to suck land.
What did you make of Kara breaking out the excuse train about how it's not fair that everyone else, that the guys solved the puzzles for Camilla and Tori, but here she's struggling and...
We're jumping ahead, right?
Yeah, this to the puzzle. Is... Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I thought we were, didn't we already jump past that?
No, I'm talking about the bola disadvantage, but we can move on. Because didn't this is when Kara worked with CT first, right?
Yeah, but on the puzzle, she was with Derek, right?
Yeah. I thought Kara picked CT here, but I wrote the wrong thing. Sorry. Okay, anyway, apologies. Yeah, I didn't realize this was such a known thing that Derek not only is bad at puzzles, but like refuses to participate.
Yeah, he didn't. That was like a theme throughout the entire fight. He just didn't get involved in it. And maybe like, I guess here it's kind of tough to have two heads going at. Sometimes it's clear to just have one mind focused on something. But for some of the later ones, it's like you can help out a little bit. Like there's ways to contribute.
Well, let's jump into that, because Jana Morse Hebda said, what are your thoughts on Derek completely relying on Kara and Camilla during different legs of the challenge? Even if you're not great at puzzles, you can look at it and try to help. And there was no reason to not be able to help Camilla figure out the letters in the smoke. It's not like he was benefiting or conserving energy by not helping. I was a little bit disappointed with him.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little disappointed also. I mean, I get his logic of like not wanting to like piss the beast off and just kind of like stay out of the way, but no matter what you do, she's going to get mad at, especially if you don't do anything. So I think you just have to at least try and something to help. Like, even if you just find one letter to contribute something.
Yeah, it really made no sense, especially with the smoke thing too, but with the Kara situation, it's like that kind of puzzle where it's like kind of like mixed Sudoku. You can look at a chain and see if the digits 1 through 6 are there. You know, like you can like not just totally sit back. That said, I don't really know why. I mean, Kara's just really playing the blame game. Is it really that big of an advantage? Like, in a way, fighting with your partner over the puzzle could slow you down potentially just as much as only doing it yourself.
Right. Or just, you know, just be good at puzzles and solve it yourself. Like, you could also just do that. Like, why do you have to rely on someone else for something you can do?
And that's the thing with Kara. I think she gets so mad because she has so much on the line because she wants to build a challenge-style gym.
Right, because everyone wants that. Everyone wants a challenge-style gym.
Well, Mike Christensen says, is there actually a market for a challenge-style gym?
I mean, I think there probably is. It's very similar to probably what they do at CrossFit. Not that, like, I don't go to CrossFit, but I imagine some of the things are similar to what they do on the challenge.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me. Like, I get it, an American Ninja Warrior gym, but, like, what is a challenge-style gym? She's like, I'm going to do some of the things I've done. Like, we need to have hall brawl set up. Like, I don't understand how you could do that in a gym. And she's saying, like, this obstacle course. Since when is the challenge, like, this big obstacle course? Like, you just run through mountains and do puzzles. Like, that's not a gym.
Yeah, there's many ways to incorporate, like, challenge stuff, I guess. But, like, it's very odd to specifically say, like, this is going to be a challenge gym. So considering a lot of things they do, they probably pull from other areas of athleticism.
So to just keep everybody on track, this checkpoint shakes out with Camilla and CT finishing first. Bing, bang, boom, in and out. See ya. Jordan and Tori finish next. And then seemingly really lagging behind Camilla and Derek. But we obviously don't have a timestamp on that.
Yeah, and I mean, they did solve it. So we didn't even get to see, like, 20 minute time buzzer go off. So we didn't have any kind of idea of how long it really actually took.
I hated this line from Kara where she arbitrarily and sexistly, I might add, says Jordan and CT were probably the ones who solved the puzzle too, just to dig Derek. Like, are you complaining because you didn't have help? Or are you complaining because you didn't have a man come to solve the puzzle for you? What's the issue?
Right. Everything. Any excuse, just trying to pull an excuse out of like a hat and see which one fits. That's what she does.
You could tell how much I don't like Camilla, though, because I wrote F you Camilla next to that as though Camilla is the one who said it, which I think is why I was so screwed up with the teams earlier.
Anything bad that happens is Camilla. Camilla, Camilla, Camilla.
Let's talk about the mini double cross. Speaking of my notes, it says OMG, these are so freaking cute.
I feel like they do this on the free agent spot. I feel like they had like a draw at some point in the final also to kind of like bring that theme back into it, which I like. I like when they kind of bring the overarching tool that they use throughout the season into the final.
I like this a lot. I just think like there was no real like surprise with who got dealt the punishments, but I like that Tori and CT were the ones who pulled it. So fate was on their side and the audience's side.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it worked out for the people watching that Tori pulled it, because like she said, I think if Camilla or Kara pull it, they're giving it to her automatically. So it was good that she pulled it herself.
It's crazy though. Like, I should say. If you, like Tori was definitely not like leading as into these challenges as we went into the double cross. Like, is your friendship with Camilla or Carr like really going to suffer because you gave a 5-minute penalty for $450,000?
I mean, I think we've seen these people be pretty petty. And I think in 5 minutes in a final for $450,000, I think the pettiness will come through.
Like, I just, it astounds me that the two of them are not willing to, like, gently F each other over for this. Like, you know, it's not like a bananas level bomb. It's like, oh, sorry, Camilla, you've been leading. I got to give it to you.
Right. But then you expect these people to be rational. And constantly, we just don't see that.
Great point. CT gives it to Jordan. That really was the logical choice, I think.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, Jordan's been killing it. So you gotta do it.
All right, as we go into the next stage, Totem Recall, we have to talk about, I think, the biggest part of this episode. We got a ton of questions about it. What were the dogs doing there?
It's a great question. Like, there's no way they were there to, like, help. Like, if someone tripped and fell, like, what was a dog going to do? Grab them by the arm and pull them up? Like, I don't know what they were doing. Unless they were, like, the people followed the dogs up. Like, that was the path. But they had, like, a rope to follow. So I don't know what the dogs were doing.
I don't know that anyone was speculating that the dogs were there as like a safety assistant, unless we've really fallen from grace in the challenge in terms of financials. I mean, like, certain countries have, like, you know, dogs just abound. It ended up being pretty cute, especially when CT's like running with his little buddy for motivation. I laughed because the dog was doing better than CT running wise.
I mean, there's no way the dogs just randomly ran across. Like, they had to be part of the show. Like, I don't think they had stray dogs just running through the final.
Who can say? Why would you have non-stray dogs running through the final?
I don't know. there has to be a reason, though. There has to be. If like, there was a dog right there, they were like, all right, let's pause this and get the dog out of here for a second.
All right, so this is when, after the double cross, the heat changed to individual. So in the first heat, we have Jordan, Derek, and Camilla scaling this mountain. I'm enjoying the view. I think this is like a pretty cool challenge. I'm starting to get into like the final of it all. And then we get, it's pulling me down. My rope is stuck. And she's literally not moving at all. She's claiming that she's being pulled down. And then suddenly, oh my God, when she decides she's done complaining, her rope is no longer stuck.
I think there's probably a degree of like the rope was stuck. I don't know how it would be pulling her down. That doesn't seem rational, but I think she was just having a panic attack. I think something got stuck. She didn't know how to fix it. And she just started to freak out.
I think absolutely nothing was stuck. She just kind of like collapses into this. Well, there's a difference between stuck and maybe you're getting some tension that you have to like use some muscle to compensate from. I don't think she was obviously in any danger. They would have fixed it. And I don't think anything was stuck to the point where she was immobile.
Probably. I mean, I think there was definitely something. I don't think she just like pulled this out of thin air. I think there was something happening to the rope and that she just like blew it out of proportion and started to freak out. There had to be something.
I think what was wrong with the rope is that it was a difficult challenge physically. And when Camilla struggles, she needs to blame something or someone else.
I'll say this, though. Kara, coming from the clouds and being like, Camilla's having a meltdown. I don't know what she's even crying about. I mean, did you watch yourself? Like, right before the final started, you were having a complete and total meltdown about jumping out of the plane. Not that it's not really that warranted, given that what everything happened to everyone else. But still, you can't be really mocking someone else's meltdown when you had one yourself.
See, I totally disagree, because I think it's exactly what Kara said, which is I have no idea why she's having a meltdown. I have a complete understanding of why Kara had a meltdown. She was jumping to her death as opposed to Camilla, who is just like laying amongst the rocks complaining that she wasn't good at the challenge.
But she wouldn't know going in that the jumping out of the airplane would be as dangerous as it turned out to be. Usually those are quite safe.
I'm sorry. My jaw's just on the floor. Let me scoop it up. Are you kidding me? You're jumping 20,000 feet out of an airplane in Argentina.
Like you would think you'd be going with like, you know, trained professionals. Obviously, the way they did it, it was not.
You cannot compare normally, jumping 20,000 feet out of an airplane to doing some mountain climbing and where you're able to just basically like you're freaked out that you're going to fall. She's able to completely stabilize herself and lay down on the rocks while she has this meltdown. This is not a comparison.
If Camilla falls, she's probably going to get really hurt, too.
Right. But it's I mean, I'll let the audience have you with this one because there's no way that that makes sense as a comparison. I'm sorry.
It makes perfect sense. She's having a meltdown. They both had meltdowns. She's mocking a meltdown.
Okay, so no really big whoop, nothing really to talk about with the next heat. But this was pretty interesting, I thought, because this is where we talk about on all kinds of reality shows, like experienced players versus non-experienced players. Derek is an experienced player, but isn't really thinking game all that often, whereas Jordan and CT notice that they are crossing a totem pole and will probably need to know that pattern as they go by. I'm kind of disappointed they didn't really show whether or not the women looked. I mean, obviously Camilla didn't because she got it wrong, but this I thought was an interesting element.
I kind of wish though they got rewarded even more for seeing it because it was really just like five things, and as Derek showed, like you can just copy someone like really quickly and just figure it out. I wish it was even more complicated that the people who noticed the totem or maybe even have like multiple totems along the way that they got. It was even more of a reward for noticing it along the way.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Or I thought it should have just been more blocked out. Like even if it was that simple, but you couldn't cheat. Like if they had it sort of like segregated. But it was pretty cute how Derek's like, Lil D, don't cheat in school, even though I'm cheating right now.
Yeah, but I mean, that goes like for someone like Derek, as you say, he's not really that like game smart, but you know, he did game smart here. Like he doesn't know, so he's going to copy. Other people would just like focus and like try to do it themselves and then be wrong and have to run back and then figure it out. Good for Derek to doing the smart thing and just copying right off Jordan.
Well, it was interesting because Camilla's the only person we see get it wrong. And it seems like the producers make her go back. Like, it didn't seem like she really, in terms of making it more of a reward. I think once you put up a wrong answer, they made you go back whether or not you could cheat. But because Derek hadn't, like, put up an answer yet, he was able to look.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair, I think. Yeah, like, basically, like, when you say, like, call to check and then, like, officially you have to run back. Although I kind of wish they would have explained that in the rule.
Yeah, I'm not sure they weren't just making that up on the spot because they're like, oh shit, people are just cheating.
Right.
But yeah, that finishes out Jordan, Derek, CT, and Kara, Tori, and then Camilla. And then again, they pick two new partners and they have to run into this smoky structure and feel around for a word on the wall. What did you think of this as a checkpoint?
It was interesting. This plays more, you know, they've done this type of thing many times in like an actual challenge. It's weird to do this in the final, but I mean, it kind of plays a little bit. I found it a little flat.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty boring. The only thing it really yielded was Camilla's. I'll let Haley Strong handle it. Haley wrote, quote, "I'm so sick of people saying I get pissed off. Is Camilla really that unaware of herself?"
Yeah, I mean, always. If you have a question about if Camilla is and the blank is something bad, it's yes.
Yeah, she's just a miserable person. And speaking of miserable people and miserable situations, Tori and Jordan finishing first in the touch tunnel challenge get to put two people on the floor for the night while everyone else gets a quote unquote comfortable bed, which is really just in a tent.
Although it seems super comfortable, blankets seem super comfortable.
Yeah, well, I have a theory here. Oh, so, boy. Like, Jordan's, like, talking his ass and, like, doing his same shit. Like, oh, this bed is so comfortable, whatever. Kara then jumps in, like, oh, the blanket's so soft. Like, I genuinely feel that Kara so desperately wants Jordan's approval.
That's just, I mean, didn't she, like, basically point out, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, like, that, like, Jordan looks like, even though I think she said, even though Jordan's like an asshole, like he looks really good doing this. But maybe there's like a pseudo crush there.
Yeah, no, that was at the start of the Rock Challenge in this final. Like, it's so sad to me to watch what I assume is Camilla, like, pandering to Jordan's sensibilities.
Kara,
sorry. Like, it's very much not Kara to be like, oh, the sheets are so soft. Like, she's just totally jumping in on the Jordan train, and it was, like, nauseating me.
Do you think people sleeping on the rocks weren't allowed to go wake them up and, like, make noise and do stuff? Because wouldn't that be your move, not to let them sleep? Just be annoying?
Yeah, I'm sure that... Well, is that really the move? Like, aren't you trying to sleep?
But I feel like if you can't... Like, if you're rolling over and you know, like, in the next, like, 10 seconds, you're not going to be able to sleep, just start screaming out and keep everyone else awake, and then you go back to trying to sleep.
Yeah, who knows? That's an interesting... hypothesis. We didn't really see what happened overnight. I was kind of disappointed we didn't see, like, 3 a.m. Camilla rolling around, 4 a.m. Camilla rolling around.
Did you like that they didn't have to do anything? Normally we've seen them sometimes having to stand, like, on a rock, or, you know, what, like, one partner can do this, sleep, and one partner has to stay awake, and they could have to flip-flop. Did you like the way they did it?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I found this challenge, this whole final, like, hard to think about and reflect on. Like, as I was watching this, full disclosure, I was sort of like, how are we going to recap this in, like, an interesting way? Like, I feel like it was really disjointed and relatively uninteresting. So I don't know that, like, I usually do like one person has to stand in the circle while the other sleeps. But I think because this was, I feel like they added more individual stuff in the middle than usual. No, like in Free Agents, I thought the last thing was the only individual thing. I think they wanted some more stuff to be individual this season.
Yeah, they kind of weirdly kept going back and forth. Like, now you can pick partners, but now you're individual. Now it's like a sign of penalty. I feel like there was no theme. Like, I like, even though it was one of the more boring ones, like the Rivals 2, where they had to collect little tokens, or even with Rivals 3 when they were collecting points to see who would, like, be able to steal the money from the other person. I like when there's, like, a general theme to each of the stages or checkpoints or whatever, and here was just very disjointed. Like, all right, now go here, do this, go here, do this, go here, do this, and then you're not.
Yeah, well, we have a ton of questions. The most questions we got besides the dogs was about the final, so we'll get to that. Just jumping ahead, I'm just getting, like, sad talking about this, but let's go to what I think was the coolest, at least aesthetically, the salt flat sled.
Yes,
that was fire and death.
That was very cool. Even I said out loud, like, wow, is that snow? And then just as I said that, they're like, no, it is not snow. It is I'm like, oh, okay, thank you.
So when they're holding on to the sleds, I died, because when they start shooting fire at them, I was like, okay, this is like Big Brother, except instead of unicorn glitter poop, it's fire. This is not a CBS show. This is MTV.
It seemed like it got, like, I know it did not, but it seemed like the fire was super close.
Oh, I think it was. It definitely enough to get hot, but, like, in the way that, like, at a concert, probably when they, like, shoot fire up at the stage, you know, like, you're close to it. But you, Gucci.
Yeah, but even, like, yeah, but usually when you see, like shows when they film stuff with, like, an explosion or fire, like, they're really, like, not even close to it. It's, like, if one of them fell off, like, at the wrong time, I feel like that could have gotten really bad.
See, I don't think they were ever at risk for that, for this. Like, if you fall off, like, they just keep driving, and the fire, I think, was always above them. But no, it definitely looked badass. Tori was right. This looked pretty badass. And everyone held on the whole way, which I was kind of disappointed at. I would have liked, it's like the boat challenge where they had to, like, swing on that boat and, like, get off at the right point. And if you, like, dropped off earlier, you'd had to swim longer, and, like, nobody actually fell. So, like, for this, like, I kind of wish a couple people fell, but it ended up being a foot race just from the same point for everyone.
Yeah, I was hoping maybe there'd be, like, some obstacles around, or they've had, like, a couple different of the trucks or whatever pulling them that they could, like, start to swerve and stuff. But I guess if you're all connected to one, start to swerve, like, people on the outside are much more of a disadvantage. That's kind of not that fair.
I did like this. This is where they did the rites of passage that I liked. And this really triggered me here. When CT was like, the last one I did was for my son, this one's for me. And then he says, if I win this one, I'd be happy to walk away with my head held high. I'm like, was that him saying, like, if I win this, I could be happy being done with the challenges?
I guess so. But I feel like you should be able to walk if you wanted to. He could walk away with his head held high right now. Like, why wouldn't, if anyone can walk away from the show with their head held high, I think it's now CT.
Yeah. And I mean, all I could say is I'm happy that it's very clear CT's not going to win this one. So right. more CT in the future, hopefully.
Yeah. I did.
Do
you know Camilla called him Chris at one point? That rubbed me the wrong way. Like, you're not on that level, Camilla. You guys are not that close. You don't get to call him Chris.
I mean, who is, though, if not Camilla? Like, I definitely think, like, Akara calls him Chris a lot.
I guess. I don't know. It just felt weird. I don't like when they call him Chris on the show. Like, it's like breaking his, like, character, like, for wrestling. He's CT. Call him CT.
Yeah, it's interesting because I like it more. I like it. It's a term of endearment. I don't like it from Camilla. That's fine. But it's almost like the opposite of when you call Bananas John, it's, like, degrading. When you call CT right. Chris, it's like, oh, you're my real friend, so I'm not going to call you by your, like, pro wrestler name or whatever.
Right. No, that's totally fair.
I thought Tori had a good strategy here, and she's running. Like, to have a goal to just stay on Camilla as your motivation as opposed to just running straight is pretty smart. And I'm always admire a woman whose main drive is petty revenge.
Yeah, that's a good way to go. I was very impressed with Tori the entire final. I don't think she ever really lost her composure. I think there was one moment, like, when she was, like, getting tired, but Jordan helped encourage her. That was, like, one moment of, like, leading doubt. But other than that, like, you really held their own right here.
Let's talk about Tori. Jennifer Jones says, is Tori at a disadvantage for never having competed in a final before? When she comes back again, is she going to perform exponentially better if she can make a final?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a degree of when you do something like this, not only that you prove to yourself that you can get through, but also a lot of the finals are similar. So you know what to look for. You know how to handle stuff. You know how to do the certain puzzles. So I think it does. But of all the finals, this one seemed the most pointed that I think it was a pretty even playing field.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tori's definitely going to improve with time, though, because I think her confidence in the game even just improved throughout. Like, we commended Tori for kind of sitting back at the beginning strategically, like not really putting up a big fight for her boyfriend to stick around. I think next season or another season from Tori, we would see somebody more game aware, doesn't have to take the time to build relationships. She'll be coming in with those. She's continuing to foster them off camera. Physically, I think having done a challenge, like, you really can't top experience, especially the kind of experience that all five of her opponents, male and female, have. You really appreciate, like, how you have to work out for these. You know, she was able to keep up and finish, but I think not only do you know how much you have to train, but when this starts becoming your career, you can afford to, like, put the money into the training and sacrifice, like, another job you might have to spend all your time training. Like, if Bananas had to work a real job, like, he wouldn't have time to stay as fit as he does, you know? So that, right. I think that also will be an advantage as time goes on for Tori.
Yeah. Future is bright for Tori.
So in terms of the foot race finishes, we have Jordan, Camilla, Derek, Tori, Kara, and then CT. And then the pre-recorded message lets us know that TJ will not let them know who the winner is, which we already discussed. But we have a question from the audience. Nick Sabetta says, if you had to guess, what order do you think they finished in? I think Jordan won for the guys, but I'm not too sure who won for the girls.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that Jordan won. I mean, I think he basically won almost every round. So, yeah, I think Jordan definitely won. I mean, the second and third, it seemed like Derek may have beaten CT, although I think that would probably be pretty close for the girls. I think it's between Camilla and Tori, and I really hope it's Tori, but I'm going to lean towards Camilla.
See, I think that CT and Tori came in third place, but maybe I'm just trying to think of, maybe I'm just confusing, like, who finished when. So you think that puzzle really killed Kara with Derek?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, Tori was with Jordan on, like, a couple of the missions, and Jordan won, like, everything, so I think that only adds to, like, her, or decreases from her time. Plus, she got to give out the 5-minute penalty, so that helped. So I think Tori's in good shape.
I do think Camilla won for the women. I think Jordan won for the men. I think Derek, I'm predicting, hot take, that Derek is closer in time to Jordan than CT.
Okay.
Like, Derek, I basing this off of absolutely nothing, but hot take.
Well, that's what we do with everything.
That was a weird thing that happened. All right, so we have a ton of questions. I have a question. Ammo is shown when we show clips of, I'm so excited that it's going to be hosted by The Miz, the reunion next week. Why is Ammo in the audience? Like, he was allowed to be there, but not on stage. Like, what was the deal?
Oh, is it all the free jury people are out in the audience?
Possibly. And is it true that Camilla is not going to be at the reunion, or was not at the reunion? We talked about that.
Is that true? I don't remember.
I thought someone said that. And then PJ Gahan says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how funny would it be to have TJ pull for Camilla at the reunion to reveal that she won for the women?
That would be pretty funny. I kind of wish they just did it as like a blank, the way Are You the One did it when the person left for the beams, and they just had like a blank person.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I can't. I'm trying to quickly Google. I feel like we might have talked about this, that she wasn't at the reunion.
It sounds familiar, but then again, we've said so many words over the course of these like 7 months that it could be anything.
Yeah, I don't think Camilla's there. So that will be interesting to watch. Samantha Joy DeMott. This is also about Camilla. We're on the subject. Samantha Joe DeMott says, what was your favorite part of the finale? When Camilla cried mid-climb for seemingly no reason, or when Camilla had to sleep on the ground, special mention to when she visibly pissed off yells about how tired she is of everyone saying she gets pissed off.
Yeah, that was good. Well, even though I totally disagreed about what Derek did, the way his like facial reactions when Camilla was like starting to like melt down on him after not trying the puzzle was very office-like. It was very funny.
For a winner, like, let's assume Camilla wins this season. For a winner, she literally only got shit moments showed of her.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you have a racially filled season.
I wish that's what happened if you had a racially filled season. It's when you actually just piss off MTV on the next season you're supposed to be on.
Right.
So we got a ton of questions about this. I just stopped pulling them. Briar Vandrell said, how do you think the finals these past few seasons compare to those many years back when it used to be just 10 or 12 straight hours of endurance or overnight with no time portion or stop and go like now? Feels like they aren't as taxing as they used to be. Garrett Hubel said challenge finals are sinking, in my opinion. It was a bore to watch. They didn't reveal the winners. They need to go back to the old format and not just a group laughing from task to task. I think those are only two I've pulled. So where are we at with this final and the way that finals have gone overall?
I think the challenge final is broken. I think they need to kind of do a full rehaul for next season or wherever the next season is that they haven't filmed. I would love to see them do something just completely all different. I don't know what that is off the top of my head that would call for a think tank that'll never happen. But they need to do something different because these are getting boring and tired some, and they've kind of done everything that they can do with these, and they're even like eating stuff. Like, they need to do something different.
On that same thought, Wendy Jung says, are the finals getting easier or the competitors getting better? In older seasons, I was in awe of people when they finished because the task seems so hard. Granted, I wouldn't be able to do any of it myself, but it seems like in recent finals it's a given that people will finish and they don't even look like they've suffered that much.
Yeah, I mean, like, I agree, I probably wouldn't be able to do any of this stuff, but I do think the breaks in between do help, which is why I think like the early days of like the first Rivals and the first Exes, which is regarded as the toughest finals, where it was just 15, 16 hours of straight stuff, that seems to be much more grueling than, even just more grueling, but in shorter windows and breaks. So I think it has gotten easier.
I also do think that there's been a real shift in terms of career challengers, and the competitors have gotten better. Like, it used to be like kind of regular people who are fit doing these things. Now it's like, semi-professional athletes doing these competitions. So I think it's been made to look easier because these people like Jordan and Bananas and whoever else are just like Akara, like they're just such physical specimens now. It's like gone are the days of somebody who's like binge drinking on the Real World, like shows up and is not really athletically prepared and makes a final.
Yeah. Look at Jordan's insane. I mean, the dude may have, he has like one hand, he could have, maybe has a broken leg, and he's just smoking. He's ridiculous.
So Alex Richard says, Allie, can you please finally give props to Jordan? Considering his unfortunate luck with skydiving, he dominated this final rather easily. Now, you be honest with me, Brian. Do I shit on Jordan for not being physical?
All the time. It's actually like quite annoying how many times you feel like Jordan's the worst, doesn't do anything, why is he on the show? Now, you know, I don't think you've ever said anything. You will always call him an ass. He is. But I think you've always caveated it with his, like, the freak.
Well, maybe not, but if people feel like I need to give Jordan more due, I'm happy to. Like, there's no question what Jordan's able to accomplish physically for anyone is amazing. The fact that he does it with one hand to the point where you forget that he has any sort of disadvantage is incredible. I picked Jordan second in my draft only to CT. I think Jordan is a phenomenal athlete. That said, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I wrote back to this person. Like, Jordan's an a-hole. Like, that's true. I'm not unwilling to give him props, though, for his physical abilities. Jeff Satora says, I feel like this entire final could have been run as individuals, no problem. Do you have a preference?
I like when they mix it up. I think it does add something to it. I think it would kind of get even more boring if everyone was just doing stuff on their own. I think it adds stuff when people fight or have to work together. So I like when they mix up.
I liked that they let them pick their partners and that it wasn't like you had to be with all three men and women for three rounds. You know, like I liked that Jordan had the option to pick Tori twice. I thought that made it more interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I to me, like, that is fun. I think when they change it up one year, you have to be with everyone one time. The next year, you can pick and choose as much as you want. I'm fine. Like, that doesn't sway me one way or the other. I just like when they're mixing it up.
All right, so before we get to the little bit of Twitter that existed, I mean, at this late in the season, with this long of the season, we've even lost, like, the Twitter interest from people tweeting about this. Mm-hmm. And also our digital communications manager is on assignment in New York for Know It Alls Live. Just kidding, she's not on assignment. She's just there enjoying herself. So I pulled Twitter. I didn't really find much. But before we get to that, a quick thank you to our 5-star reviewers. Some of these people are names I've read before, but I guess they just updated their review. So we'll thank them again. I don't really know how things work. MizMe12, Andre, you are awesome. Ballbag Swinger, Smith484. I love 69, which just proves that I'll say whatever your name is if you give us a 5-star review. And GotKate86. So thank you so much. If you want to embarrass me and or make us happy, you could do so at robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. One thing that has happened. So, Andre, you're awesome. We're going to answer your question, but don't feel like you have to put your questions in a 5-star review. We take those on Facebook or Twitter. But Andre, who gave us a 5-star review, wants to know, after seeing this 17 episodes by his count, 8 eliminations, would you want to see the extended format next season, or do we want to return to the standard episode number?
Please, God, take us back to 11 or 12 episodes, please. Or just make them old school style, like 30-minute episodes. Top.
See, my thing is, if you have something, give us a double episode, give us a to be continued, give us some extras. If you don't have anything, don't stretch. Like, this season did not. Can you just imagine? I feel like we always talk about this. If this was 12 episodes, this would have been, like, undoubtedly the best season ever. But yeah, it was a great season, but a lot of filler.
Yep. Punch it down.
I would ask you how you feel about this overall, but I don't really feel like we can put this season in its place in challenge history until we know the winner, which we may or may not know next week.
I think may not.
You think they're going to do the winner in the second part of the reunion?
Of course. Why wouldn't they?
I feel like that's going to get taken care of early on. Because how can you talk about it without knowing the way? Like, I just feel like that would be such an awkward hour, half hour, of however long it's going to be.
I mean, I think you could talk about everything that leading up to it, all the drama that led up for the final. Other than, you know, someone knowing they won. I mean, they don't normally discuss the final even that much, unless something monumental happens. So most of what they talk about is everything leading up to the final.
All right, so we'll see. I think they know who won. Like, especially if you're there and you can really see who finished by how much. Like, it's probably more obvious to them than it is to us.
Yeah, but I think Jordan definitely knows who won. And unless, you know, the girls was, like, really, really close, maybe they know, but sometimes it is pretty close. Like, I think when Laurel won, she win by like 3 minutes or something like that. So I think it is possible that it is very close.
So a couple of things from Twitter. Jordan tweeted, somebody asked him, what percent is your knee at? And he tweeted that during the show. So I wasn't sure if he meant now, or I think he meant like during the final. He said probably about 60%, no tendon or ligament damage, but the pain was nuts. It is incredible, cause I totally forgot about his knee injury. Like, that's how good he was doing. There was a little bit of a clip where Tori's saying she hired a private investigator. Somebody asked her, like, what caused that? And she said, my phone got broken into. I had to make sure nobody had access to my Apple ID. Messy situation that you'll all see next week. Which, unless it was, like, Derek, her ex-boyfriend, I don't know, like, what could be that exciting to talk about that.
Seems like, it seems like on the preview, we got some type of resolution with the Tori Derek stuff, so maybe it's that.
Hashtag blessed, some resolution this season. And then Cassie brought this to our attention on Twitter. Somebody wrote to Camilla on Instagram and said, are you banned or is that just a rumor? And she wrote rumor, kiss emoji. And I have on semi-decent authority that the current stance is that she will not be back for a while, which just pisses the hell out of me. I was ready to come on here and say, like, I will quit the podcast when they bring her back. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I'm just so disgusted that they think that she brings that much that they'd want to bring her back after all of this in a couple seasons when we quote unquote forget about it.
People forget about a lot of things very quickly and they are banking on our.
That's fine, but like, why do we, I don't think we need Camilla. Like, I don't think it bothers me that MTV thinks that the show's success is dependent on the opportunity for Camilla to be there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're strong on like a lot of people that they keep bringing back sometimes, and it's kind of weird. So I think they're kind of just like, they like the people they know.
I mean, you think you know her and then she does something like this, like, come on.
Right.
That's all I have for Twitter this week. I'm sure there will be more excitement during and after the reunion.
You would hope so. At least maybe we'll finally get a winner at some point. and that'll be a little bit of excitement. But you can subscribe, as you mentioned, at robswebsite.com/challenge. So can we just point out the fact that the challenge and Are You the One may end, literally end at the same time? That is, I mean,
believe me, I thought about it. Synergy, baby, synergy.
It's quite wild. you can follow me on Twitter at @OwenBryan_, and they can follow you
at @LashTweets.
We'll be back next week for part 1 of 6 of the reunion. Until then, have a good one.